fortnight when I'd finished sharing and the service was over, we'd had a couple of people share during that day, and Krista came up to me afterwards. She said, I was just looking for an opportunity. I felt God gave me something to share. And I'm like, both Kerry and I felt pretty, oh no, the kids can go now. If you want to take the children upstairs, teachers and leaders. And I said to Krista, look, that, and she told me a little bit about what she felt God wanted to share. And I said, oh, that, look, the whole church needs to hear that. And so I felt God's got a great word through this woman to come and impart to us and bring whatever life God has imparted through her into our lives. And so this is a first. We've had the granddaughter up on the microphone. We've got the grandma on this microphone now. And we bless God and thank you so much. Thank you, Krista.
We actually need the children in here. We actually need the children in here, to be quite honest, because this is for everybody, what God has given me. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Now, you wouldn't believe it, but for me to be standing up here is by the grace of God. I don't want you to hear me today. I want me to just disappear and you see God and see the goodness of God, which is there for every one of us. None of us can skip the goodness of God. Everyone has got a special calling on his or her life, from young to old. It is just how we get there, and that is what is important. And for me to stand up here, I have to honor God first. He saved me. He gave me a husband who's very quiet. I'm the noisy one. I'm the one that's always 10 meters ahead, and then he comes in. Through him, I was taught to be submissive. I can say what I want. I can speak my mind. But I know to be careful that the Jezebel spirit never comes in. I wouldn't let her in. So I had to step back and wait and see how God, if I have heard from God, how he will confirm it in my husband. It's not my job. I'm not the head of the house. We know the order. Father, the husbands, the wife, and the kids. That's the order of God. So I honor God. And I have to say, it's all for my children as well. Because they've seen a broken mom and dad many times. They've seen our mistakes. They lived it firsthand. And I speak for everyone here. When I spoke to Ken, God gave me a few words. He said, grandmothers and fathers, moms and dads, and he said, children. And then God gave me another word, altar. That all happened when I was there with Ken. So I didn't know what God actually wanted to say, but I started thinking. And as I thought, God started giving me words. And Rake, if you can just... When we came to the Lord, the first thing Fritz and I did was to ask God, actually. So mine is multiple testimonies to encourage each one of you guys that you have a testimony. Nothing is too big, nothing is too small to glorify God, because he works in our lives to perform his perfect will. And we must just say, Father, your perfect will, I submit my will. These are all my ideas, but your perfect will. So when we came to the Lord, we said to God, Father, what to do? And my first words were, God said to me in Exodus 33, verse 14 to 16, must I go with you? And I want to encourage you guys. We took the word of God literally like medicine. If God says something, we did it. We believed it and we ran with it. So we said, God, we as a family, we need you ahead of us, in us, behind us, over us. And we tried as parents and we failed many times to set an example to our kids. We guided them. We were never quiet. We were never silent. We took them along the journey. So let us just read through. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, that's all of us guys, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy, and just up to there, it was the people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, if you sit in this building and you haven't given your life over to the Lord, it ain't too late. That promise is still relevant today. Nothing is over until we have breath in our bodies. We can change. We can give ourselves over to the Lord, and He can make a beautiful thing out of us. There's a song, He makes diamonds out of dust. We are worth, like I say to the kids at school, $35 a body. If we take the metals and the things in our body, I die, $35. That's all I'm worth in earthly terms. But to Him, I'm everlasting. He changes my spirit. He comes and lives inside of me. He changes me, and He changes me for His purposes. I have to touch people where I go, whether it means speaking into their lives, maybe being like Annette said that day, being a silent prayer warrior. But we ain't going to get out of this. You all in it for the end. There's no running out of this. We have to finish the trip. We have to. He says, run. Paul says, run to get the crown. We all are in a race. And John D. with his athletics know very well. If I give up halfway, I ain't going to see any crown, any recognition. Don't take your and my Christian life light-hearted at all. Sorry, I say too much. Proverbs 20:20-17. The spirit of a man, this is us, as parents, we took this spirit, this scripture as a, it was 140. Sorry, Rake, it's my mistake. He has to put up with his mom. Psalm 144, verse 9b. Let the evil of their lips cover them. And that was a scripture God gave us, me a long time ago, that we must be careful what we say, because we pray that our enemy's words will cover them, not us. So we push away from us what the enemy tries and put on top of us. So we have to learn the secret to get things to bounce away from us, because there's a blood barrier around us. But only if we recognize it every day, early in the morning, devotions in the morning, Bible reading, late at night, on our paths as we go. Next one, Proverbs 20:27. This, Rake knew this from very young. The spirit of a man or a woman is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. That's Proverbs 20:27. So your and my spirit is God's lamp to check out who I really am. Who am I? I don't portray who I'm not. Who am I? And he goes on, he says, in Job 23:13-14, especially verse 14, he performs what is appointed for me. It's fearful words. I fear God when I say it, because he says, he performs what is appointed for me. So what I say about my life, what I speak over my children, what I speak over my co-workers, what I speak about people, he performs. We know what Proverbs says about the power of the tongue. Now, I'm not talking because I'm perfect. The ones closest to me know how often I stumble. But we have learned as a parent couple that we say sorry to our kids. We fix our messes. I teach and I say to the kids at school, sorry, I've missed. I made a boo-boo. And they understand that humility is what we need. Otherwise, God is never amplified or shown through my life, because the me must be at the background. I'm not perfect. That's why He can use me. Otherwise, I was in heaven already. And in Jeremiah 1:12, before I'm ready to perform my word. So over your lives, people, if you sit here and you think I've made a mess of my children's lives, I'm stuffing up, I don't do what I have to do, I'm not doing devotions with them, I'm not taking time out, bringing the word in their lives, it's not too late. He's ready to perform the word of his word over the lives of your children and everybody when you speak it. Speak it. Don't speak what we see. Speak what he says about it. Don't talk about the circumstances. Talk about the solution. What we see is not reality. Reality is up there in heaven. He says, thy will on earth as his will in heaven. That's what God says. Now, our intentions with our children was to raise them in the fear of the Lord. And that action, I want to say to you guys, was a deliberate one. And I think you agree with me. It's deliberate. It's always active, and it's a never-ending job. So when we raise kids, or when we speak into our co-workers' lives, or one another's lives, it's an active thing. I do it deliberately, so I think what I'm about to say or do, and it never stops. There's never time out. There's no break at all. And Daniel 1 verse 8 says, Daniel, and this is what we must have. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which the king drank. That is just to confirm that we all have to have a purpose. It's something we do all the time. And Proverbs 21 verse 1 and 2 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. So if I've made a mistake and I ask God's forgiveness, we find in our lives that as we pray into situations and over our kids and over people that we work with even today, he changes the heart of bosses, of senior people, of our children, because he's in control of the heart of man. We must just pray. Now, my question I ask myself is, what does success look like then for all of us? Because here we sit, we gray hair. Some of you are young mothers and fathers. You feel in your heart, I'm a failure, I'm not available. And something God said to me earlier today was, you have to be present in the lives of your children. You have to be available. You don't have quality time. You have quantity time. And I note, if I speak to you guys, sometimes we're not there. Fathers and mothers are absent due to many, many things. But mums stand in for fathers, because if the kids see the role of the dads as the authority, as the head of the house, mum can get away with murder. In the sense of, we can say to them, Dad gave me permission. This is what Dad wants. And so the blessing of the father is quite visible. And mum doesn't have a secret she shares with the kids behind Daddy's back, because that undermines the authority of Dad. And if I undermine the authority of Dad, I'm carrying or giving a place for a Jezebel spirit. Because it's not then God's perfect will, but my will, which is suddenly happening. I become the manipulator. And this is something that I always thought a Jezebel is like me, loud and talking, you know, an extrovert. And through life, God showed me many a time people with a very soft spirit has a strong inner core, and they just know how to work their way through life. And if I say it, we all know it. We see it all the time around of us, in the workplace, wherever we go. Now, my testimonies, that was just the background. When God said to me, prayer altar, he said, mums and dads and children, I was wondering where was God going. And so we decided years ago that our children will be on an active journey with Christ. We'll pray together. We'll explain to them what God said to us. We use the scripture loud and clear. We put it up on our walls. We made them learn the scriptures. We speak it. We speak it. We say it. We believed it. And only the word of God was the guidance in our house. This went on for all our life. Sorry, Rake. And I can tell you what happened now. I'll just go with the testimonies which God is allowing me to talk about. On our farm in South Africa, we had workers. And the workers, we led them to the Lord as well. We had lots of ministries going so that they could find Jesus. They spoke different languages, not our language. So we had to collect the neighboring farm's workers. And the testimony that went out, we heard later on, was that the people working for us would tell the other guys from the other farms, you know why our bosses are successful? You must see what they do. They go amongst the field into the harvest, and then they bless the harvest. Then I realized people actually see what we do. People hear what we say. And that wasn't all. Where we lived on a farm, there was one little hill. And God, that was my prayer altar many times. I would drive up and I would be on the hill and I started praying for all the farming communities surrounding our area. Nobody served the Lord Jesus there. They were all religious, going to church, but none of them were born again. Now, I was young in the Lord and young at age, around about 29, 30 years old. I was literally just following in God's footsteps to the glory of God. The day we immigrated to New Zealand, all the farmers served the Lord. Nothing to do with us. The power of prayer, power of praying the word over the communities, people we haven't spoken to. We came from the city into a farming community, not knowing the people. We find Jesus. Then we went to a town 45 minutes or 45 kilometers away to church. Then God said to us one day, said to me, he said, you have to work in the town you're from. And I went to the pastor. I said, I don't get it. We've got an agape church. I don't want to leave the church. But I'm not about to disobey God. He tells me to go there because he wants me to work there. And I made up my mind and I figured it out. God doesn't want me to drive with people to church in another town. Where I work, there the harvest is, he will lead them to the churches. So as obedient as I was, I shared it with Fritz. And he was like, mm-hmm. And so what are you going to do? So I went into town. God gave me plans. He said, you will find women. You go to houses and you find women that will pray with you. You start a prayer group. Now, it's easy for me to talk when I know people, but when you do not know people and the houses are shut and you do not know who lives at the address, it can be pretty scary. But somehow, when Jesus helps you to walk on the water, he makes it easy. And before I knew, I had women at prayer groups. That happens. And then suddenly God starts this ministry thing. They had husbands. And so we had male prayer groups going in the evenings. And before we knew, there was a group in South Africa who had camps for male and female. And we were like, oh yeah, guys, would you like to come to a camp? We were used by God. We didn't know that at the point. But as apostles, starting up God's business. We took them to camps, and then we became a threat in the town because people started finding Jesus, not changing church because we said, we don't want to change you from your church. That's God's job. So the next thing that happens is God said to me, now you go to all the different church groups. You go to their pastors, priests, or whoever they are, and you invite them to a meal which you will set up in one of their houses, and they will then sit around a table, all of them facing, talking about the Lord. And he gave me a guest speaker whom I should get in from. I didn't know the guy from a bar of soap, but I knew about him that he was a Christian. Obedient, we had a group of people that were helping me, women, and we were cooking in another person's kitchen. I've never been in that kitchen before and after, but God then had a revival going in a small town where hundreds and hundreds of people find the Lord. People couldn't understand. We started seeing miracles. And then, as God always do, he scattered all of us. Some he took overseas. We didn't understand what God was doing. But he had his seeds to go away, to be planted in other vineyards. And we were just obedient. When God talked to us about immigrating, I have to say this, we shared with Rake and Mariki, our oldest daughter. They were already nearly finishing with school and they were not happy at all. Their friends were there, but we waited because God spoke to me first 3 years before he spoke to Fritz. I shared with Fritz and he was like, nah. I want farming. I don't feel like it's my inheritance. I want farm. Now, you see how God works. We learned young as young Christians that God, if he gives you a word through anybody, he means for you to put it on the counter, not to forget about it. So we learned that we pray, Father, if that word was from you, then it will come into fulfillment. People prophesied over me. You will teach people overseas. And I was like, ah, come on. I'm a farmer's wife. I would not be talking to anybody in any other foreign country. So that was just immediately in the trash bin for all I care at that point. I couldn't believe that. But as time goes on, the Father in heaven prepared Fritz's heart. And one day he got up and he said to me, we sell the farm. I'm ready. We had a lady who was a prophet. She's an old lady. She came to my farm. I rang her up. She didn't know anything about us. So I asked her, come to us. Can you please just come and pray with us? So again, we went up to my prayer hill. And while we were praying, Fritz put the farm in the market. And so when we were up on top and we were starting to pray and prophesying the word over our things and our lives, we saw a car coming in and the Holy Spirit said to me, that's the buyer. That was within 5 days. Within 5 days when God moved Fritz, the head of the house, he sold the farm. It was a cash sale and we left South Africa. God provided jobs for him and then we went to New Zealand. My younger son, whom you guys have seen, he was about 9 years old. He was scared. He was petrified. He said, Mom, I want you to be close to the school. I said, oh, God can do that easily, mate. And not mate then, but mate now. I said, God can do it. So I said, God, can you please give us a house across from the school? Not thinking about it anymore. So when we went to New Zealand, we ended up in a town, Tikawata or Tikofata, she would know. And when we got there, they didn't have a house for us that was livable, but there was a brand new house, guess where? Across from the school. Did I realize it then? No, not at all. Only afterwards. The truth that God's word, which we have kept praying and speaking over our situation, came true. Because he would come out recess and, hi. So if I wanted to go do shopping, it was between recess and lunch. I had to drive and do shopping. So lunchtime, hi. And I was there. He didn't know anything about that. But I'm going to stop there. I'm going to do another testimony because this testimony I give is to encourage you today. Because what I do is, it is prophetic for you that every word anybody has ever given to you must come true. The seed of the word must grow. The word of God says it's alive. It will bear a harvest. It will bring forth good fruit. So if we put it in a box or we put it in the bin, it ain't gonna grow. We have to water it. We have to talk to Daddy there. Say, Father, I just want to remind you, your word said, my children shall be pillars in God's temple. This is a scripture we've prayed over Rake and Mariki and Josh. Thank you, Father, you will make them pillars. Thank you, Father, if they go astray, that you will bring them back. Because your word promises us. You see, we stand on the word. Your word says that the work, if I raise my kids in your work, they will not depart from that when they're old. So I'm not going to settle for nothing less. That will happen in the lives of my kids. He cannot lie. God will never change. His promises are yea forever and ever. It is us who give up. It is us who run away. It is us who lose our joy, our peace, because of circumstances. We let this world dictate how we feel. I don't feel well, so I don't have joy. No, don't confuse joy with happiness. Happiness is what happens now. A nice big meal or this or that. Happy to see you, Annette. That's happiness. But joy, and I say this to the kids at school, is the joy to know my name is written in the book of life. My Father is in charge, like that great declaration. He's in charge of heaven. He's got everything under control. And he will be my provider. He will bring in my family who are not saved. The family members you and I are hurting for, your family tables will be filled. Just don't give up half through the race. I can tell you that. Don't give up on anybody. The enemy, his only job is to rob, to steal, and destroy. If he can do that, he's won you over. He can shut you up. But if he cannot shut you up, if you remember that the devil fears the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, the problem is we, as a body, we sometimes compromise too easily. We give in to the enemy, and we become like the world. There's not a great distinction between us. I use a coarse word here and there. I watch a program or a movie with pornography, which is close to pornography, where there is a mixing of marriages and all sorts of alcoholism going on, and all these things, cheating, treason, everything goes because it's in the inside of my home. Nobody knows. And for a moment, the enemy succeeds to make me and you forget that God sees everything every second of the day. He knows my thoughts and my words before I've said it. Why I say this is the responsibility as a parent is so great. If you sit and give up and you're tired and you let your kids play video games that's violent or listen to music made by groups that are not born again and sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you doing? You're letting the world sow seeds in your kids' hearts, and you wonder sometimes why you reap a harvest which you didn't plant, or you thought you didn't ever plant it. It is important that we as parents and grandparents keep up his work, because he is going to ask of me and you, what have you done with the time I've given you? What have you done with it hours you could talk about me? That doesn't mean we're perfect. We've stumbled. So when I talk about what he's done for me and what he shows me. But I want to, going from there to, because I'm teaching children now, so it's very close to my heart, the kids. And I usually say, eyeball me. If you don't look at me, if you can't see me, I can't see you. So even my grandkids, Jonty, he's hungry at this point. If the word of God lives inside of us, it comes out of us. The kids know who we are. What they see is what they get when they deal with us. And I want to say something. At our school, it's a Christian school. I can talk about the Lord every day, every time I would like to do that. I can sing songs. I can do whatever I want because I'm at a Christian school. But the enemy, that doesn't mean he's happy with that at all. So there's always traps for me. There's always traps. I sort of have them all the time. Sometimes I tread over, but we have a great God. He speaks to me in visions and dreams. Now, my husband, he's the hero of the dreams all the time. And this is how it goes. I had a dream last night. I saw a snake. And I couldn't get rid of the snake or this or that. If I dream about a snake, God is showing me something is about to happen. Okay. So I know. And then I start, oh, God, here. Yeah. I must be careful what I say, what I do. And I'm under your blood, and I do spiritual warfare, because the weapon of mass destruction for a Christian is the word of God and the Holy Spirit, which without which we cannot survive. So this is what we do. I pray. And then ho and below things happen. So a few years back at our school, I had a boy. I came across him when he was in grade 7. He wasn't in my class, but he was always depressed. Always wanted to commit suicide. And all I could do as a teacher was to touch him and pray for him and say, mate, God is good. Nah, I don't believe. I said, that doesn't matter, I believe. So we would go, year 8, the same thing. Year 9, he becomes serious. He's in my class and he's very depressed and he wants to go to the toilet. And then I say, no, you're not going alone. And I send another boy with him. So God gave me that wisdom. But along the time, I always say to him, I can do nothing for you, mate. I can speak the word and pray the word of God. I don't believe. But can I pray for you? Oh, yeah, you can. So then I start doing spiritual warfare in loud and clear. I pray over him. I speak the word. I bind the enemy. I chase it away. And I call upon the angels of God to surround him and the blood of Jesus to cover him. And I say in his face, Father, can you please save his heart? Can you draw him into the kingdom of from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? Literally what I taught my kids. Rake does it. Anne does it. Speak the word. Not your own words. Ain't going to have any power. His word is all powerful. And so he's going through year 9, year 10, and it becomes a habit. I'm early at school, so here he comes to my office. He'll knock on the door, and then there's another staff member usually with me. He says, Mrs. Neething, I want to talk to you. And then he will talk to me, you know, about life. But it's out in the open, no issues. So then one day, around about year 11, hey, lovey, he said to me, he said to me, I want to do, can we do Bible reading together in the mornings? I said, oh, fine, that's perfect, love it. What do you want to do? I said, well, why don't we do the book of John? It's all about the love of the Lord. And then Jesus, the Holy Spirit, made me to back off, and he said, no, I want to do the book of Mark. Now, the reason he wanted to do the book of Mark is because he had a lot of demons, suicidal demons. He was always talking about demonic possession to me, and every time I had to talk to him about how we can get rid of it. And so he chose the book of Mark. And as I didn't read the book of Mark. He was reading in a classroom with windows open. So he would read the book of Mark, and he gets to a certain place, and he'll ask me a question. I just answer it, and so we go on. And one day the thing was about demonic possession, how Jesus then delivered a person of demons. And he said to me, Mrs. Neething, is this still possible today? I said, oh, yeah. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that was left there. Perfect. The next thing I know is I'm called into the headmaster's office. Now, you know jealousy. You know what the enemy does with jealousy. He uses some of your co-workers to destroy you. But if you walk in the light and you have God's word in your mouth, he will protect you, not may. I want to give you the good news. Don't fear. Don't shy away thinking, I can't do this. You can. You're allowed to. You have the authority of God. So there, I go to the headmaster's office, and the counselor, the lady, sits over there. She was sitting seated like that, and the headmaster was there. And he said to me, Krista, I know you, and blah, 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 and you're very good. But did you say to so-and-so that he's demonic possessed? I said, oh, no, over my dead body. I did not. Why do you ask that? And he said, no, because we had a complaint. I said, okay, stop the bus. Who's the complainer? I want to know. That person must say to my face. And I go on, I said, sir, because the boy would never say that. He knows that he's asking me all the time how to be freed from demons, and I'm the one telling him to get away from that. So I wouldn't say that. You would not tell a person to his face unless you're busy in counseling maybe or whatever. So there it was. And I looked at the counselor, and immediately, because God's got a knack, he shows you what's going on. I say to Frizz many times, I walk into a building and I know things about people I don't want to know. But God shows me, gives us that wisdom so that we can be successful in what he sends us to do on that day. On the footy field, in the nursing home, in your school, in your business. He just gives you that knowledge because he knows the enemy has a trap set for you. And he doesn't want you to fall in the trap. So the headmaster then said to me, no, he believes me. I said to him, sir, if you tell me not to pray with a boy ever again, just say so now. He said, no. I want you to pray and read with him. He said, go ahead, do it. But what I have to tell you, something else I have to tell you is that Fritz is a leader in the school. So he was working with the head of senior school, and they butted heads in the physical, like in... he wanted to do things, and he wanted Fritz's blessing when he lied, and my husband is different. He's a child of God. He fears God, so he would always say, I cannot support you in that. If it's the truth, I can, but not in a lie. Now, you see, God honors us when we speak his words and walk in his perfect will. We stop fearing man, we start fearing God. Because if we fear God, we will live a godly life. Not a perfect life. We made stuff ups all the time. But we need it. He's there for us. As Ken said, he sees us through the blood of Jesus, not through our own perfections at all. Nothing we do. And so that headmaster wanted to get rid of Fritz, but he couldn't, because my husband doesn't say two words in a row. He would prevent, no, not really. He would not, he would not cause trouble. Whereas his wife could be a stirrer. She would think, and then she would speak, and then said, God, is that okay? Sometimes. But God has changed me over the years. So I would say, sorry, I've stepped the mark. Okay. So he wanted to get my husband, and he thought the easiest way was to get rid of the wife. That's how you get rid of the husband. But he didn't keep reckoning with our God in heaven. So what happens is, he was friends with the counselor, the headmaster, and he thought, Krista's doing too many counseling and too many praying with kids. This is not a good thing. So maybe she can step in the trap. So that evening, the counselor, forgot to tell him that I'm allowed to read and pray. That the headmaster actually told me I must do that. So the next morning, home below, he rocks up at my door. Hey, Mrs. Anything, I want to talk to you. And I stepped out of the room and I said, what do you want to do? He said, oh, I just want to talk about poetry today. I said, fine, just keep going. I don't like poetry, but yes, keep going. Talk to me about your poetry. And so he was. And as I was turning my head to the right, I saw a man marching across the quad. Now, this is all glory to God. I want to show you how God intervenes in our lives. We human beings, we may have had a fight on our way to school. We may have had many things happen, hey? But God, the blood of Jesus covers everything. When the doo-doo hits the fan, he's there for us. Not because we're perfect, but because of his grace, right? So here, this guy marches across, and I saw there's murder in his eyes. And before I could get rid of this boy, the teacher who was with me in the staff room, she suddenly decides to go to the toilet. But God has other plans, had other plans. A very young lady, she's beautiful, first time and the last time ever, she came early that morning. She walked in, hi, Krista, and she's on her seat, and she's busy working away. And here comes the man. And I tell you what, I don't know what God did, but the man said to me, you are in big trouble. I said, what are you talking about? He said to me, you're not allowed to talk to the wife. I said, says who? You know, cheeky. Not always good, but it worked that day. Worked me a treat on that day. So he said to me, Mr. the head of the school said, you're not allowed. I said, you missed the latest brief, mate. Last night he gave me permission to talk to the boy. But in saying that, this all happens in a split second. I'm stepping back because I saw he's going to throttle me because no woman ever speaks back to him. And I dared that. But in my mind, I saw the whole picture. The counselor forgot to inform her friend that Krista was free to talk to the boy. But so now his actions is all about what he wants to do. And so when I step into the room, the shock settled in, and I'm like, what in the world? Fritz was doing devotions that morning. Can't talk to him, but then the tears started coming. And the young lady got up and she said, Krista, are you okay? I was on my way to come and save you. What was happening? Because he was yelling and screaming at me. There's students. And suddenly I realized, oh, something big is about to happen. And I cried. She emailed the head of school quickly. He didn't get the email, of course, because he was on his way to devotions. But what happened is, I didn't realize it, but God himself sent her early that morning to be in the office, to witness, because he is our vindicator. We are not sitting, not in a court where he's not looking out for us. This world is a court system. But the judge in heaven looks out for his kids, and he vindicates us. So what she's done was the greatest thing ever. And still today, when I look back, this is a fantastic testimony to glorify the goodness of God, not deserved by me or you, but by his grace, which is free, free for all of us. Cut a long story short, the guy lost his job. Did I revel in it? No. I was the saddest woman. Fritz and I still pray for him, that he will find the Lord Jesus, that he will find freedom. Because we understand that things happen in the lives of many men and women, which leaves an imprint. And wherever we go, other people get touched by us, either positively or negatively. So sometimes things creep out from my background, and I take it out on my children, and I forget to speak to them and say, Rake, sorry, Mom has a temper because of this and this and this. And if we open up, Rake will say, we've done it. You will acknowledge that we have talked about bloodline curses a lot when they were little. Because all of us have a history. Now, we understand that when we're born again, we're in with the blood of the Lord. We're in his new bloodline. I am not in the bloodline I was born in. Because I'm now covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is to click that is the beginning of freedom from the family history, the thoughts. So if anybody asks me about my medical history, is there cancer or blood? I say nothing. There's no history, because I identify myself either with the truth of what he says or with the truth that the enemy wants me to speak. Because you see, the door into my life and your life is when I give permission for the enemy to enter. He cannot enter my home, because at the door is written, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His blood covers me. But you see, if we do not teach our kids these truths from this little, it's not natural when they grow up. The same, Ken said something this morning about praise and worship. If we are sticks for God, I can't see sticks going to heaven. My body is there to worship him. So when I play music for my school kids, and this is what I really do, I worship God. I go ahead. I lead them into praise and worship, because they need to see. 99% do not know Jesus. But they have to see him manifested in the lives of us that go ahead of them. Your children need to see the Lord in you. And I do understand we lose our tempers. We're human beings. We're not perfect. We haven't arrived. We say things we shouldn't. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about obedience. When he calls, we answers yes. And you can ask Fritz, I will have a stack of letters over the years where students glorify God, not me. You know what is wonderful? If we honestly walk as Christians and talk as Christians, we forget to take any glory, because the glory belongs to him. The crowns we're going to collect one day, for whatever reason, will be immediately given back to the feet of Jesus Christ. Nothing belongs to us. No goodness resides in us. He resides in all of us. He will be raised up and praised by people if we are not scared to speak his word and live his word. We have a great, great responsibility to be prophets in our homes. We are called as princes, as kings, as queens, as prophets. I'm not saying thy saith the Lord, but if I speak the word and pray the word over my kids or my church or whatever situation, he will perform his word. He's not lazy to do it. He can't wait. He will loosen the arms of the angels and says, go, perform my word. Perform my word. And so I want to encourage all of us as mothers, as fathers, footy players, school kids, factory workers, whatever tasks we do, that your atmosphere at your workplace will be clearly holy, because you have arrived. You, the ambassador for Jesus Christ, have arrived at the workplace today, and his glory will be greatly manifested in your midst. And if you're an older woman, prayer, powerful. Nanas, God can't resist us. He can't, because we are like, tip, 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 knock, 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 knock. Keep God, keep bringing your word into fulfillment. If there's a broken family and you want healing, this is the time. Because Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a whole body. And none of us want to see children, grandkids, old people go astray. I don't want to lose anyone along the way. So the responsibility I have where I work and where I share, my grandkids, that's with me most of the time, weekends, they must know about Jesus. And I do not stop speaking into their lives because I'm just an extension of their parents. But I know where the parents are. They love the Lord. And they expect us older people to just be doing what they've been doing all along. Don't judge yourself. If any of you feel like, oh, I haven't done 90% of what she said, or any percent, it doesn't matter. Today is a brand new day. In the rest of your life, you can start. You can do what God says you have to do. I think that's the last one. Sorry. Of course, nothing what I've written has ever come out. But I want to just end with a song. There's a song. I just want to tell you how literal I take the word of God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That kind of one. Or because he lives, those kind of things. I walk into a classroom, and the kids are all over one another, and I start singing. And I start singing. And they're like, oh, Mrs. Nithling. And I say, sing with me. Praise with me. Put up your hands, mate. Clap your hands. Do your thing. Jesus is watching. And you know what a pain it is for people who do not know the Lord? It's like, can she just shut up? No, she cannot. She cannot. Because God put me in that position to bring his word into their lives. If I don't say it, their parents won't say it. So let me say it beforehand. Thanks, Drake. How do I say thank you, Lord, for the way that you you.
he forgot. We're telling him so we remember. You're the faithful one. Lift it up a little louder. You're the faithful one. Every promise you made, you're the faithful one. Oh, let it rise. Faithful one. That's who you are. You're the faithful one. You're faithful. You walk through my walls. You walk through all of my walls. You conquer my shame. Stepped into my path. Fill my world with grace. Didn't ask you to come, but you wanted to.
Thank you so much for Ken and Lexi and Kerry, Father. And I give them into your hand, Father, and I thank you for their obedience to open this building, Father, so that we can freely speak about Jesus, our Savior. And I pray for each mom and dad and nana and grandchild in this building today, Father, that they will find Jesus as their personal Savior, and that they will not be ashamed of your word, that they will speak your word, live your word, watch what they see, watch what they say, watch what they let into their ears, Father, because Father, you say, if we protect our eyes from the blood sin, our eyes will see the King. We will see you coming, Father, because we will be made holy every day through the blood of Jesus. We will acknowledge, Father, that your work is not done perfectly, but it's done in my life and in those who want, Father. We take it and we walk in your ways. In Jesus' name. Sorry, I lost my words.
Amen. Thank you very much, Mum. So, Pastor Ken asked me during the week to just wrap this up, and I had no idea how to wrap it up. But I thought the most appropriate way is probably to just, if you give me 1 minute, we left South Africa, March 98. So it's been a while. It's been a fair while. And you heard the testimony how God used them to begin small groups. And I promise you that was completely against the grain. It's a very religious country when I grew up, but you had to be in that vein, otherwise you were ostracized. At school, it was hell for us. I was in my age group, we were over 60 kids. It's a small country farm school, but in my year level, we were around 60 kids, and I was the only one that knew Jesus differently to the others. I knew him as my personal Lord and Savior, not as a religious sacrament that happens on a Sunday. But here's the testimony. After we've left, those small fires that got started, that got scattered. If I go through my Facebook, I don't use Facebook, honestly. I use it more as a, let me see what's happening with the friends that I knew at school. I haven't seen them since then. And I go through their posts and I give glory to God because more than 60% of those kids that were in my class are born again believers in Jesus Christ. Don't look at the size of your flame you're carrying now. The song we just looked at, and I was actually thinking about it, you might think, oh, it's too late. It's too late. I've done so many things wrong. My kids, it's too late. God created everything. One of the biggest challenges as human beings we have is to understand him because we're limited in time. But time was created by God. He can step in and out of time any way he wants. That's why he knows the end from the beginning. And God can step into your past, into your child's past, into your brother's past, into a family member's past, and he can fix things. They might have been as hard as rocks till now, but you begin to pray and God will step into his past, begin to soften. And one day, Dad will wake up and say, we're moving. One day, this child that has ran away from you, that co-worker that's been wanting nothing to do with you, all of a sudden, God changes. God changes their hearts. And I can tell you now, you can kick against the goats, you can fight these things, but if you're listening to this message, God has been working on your life. Now, you can resist it, you can think this is not for me, but I'm telling you now, God has got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. Put him to the challenge. Put him to the challenge in your life. Say, God, I'm still struggling. I'm not sure. But if you are who you say you are, show me. Why don't we all stand? Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and it is true. And you say in your word in John 1 verse 12, for as many as believe, we have the right to become sons and daughters of God. God always says, thank you, we love you. I pray for every person in this room today, Lord, that you will take them this week and for the rest of their lives, and that you will begin to change them from glory to glory. Lord, that the little they have in their hands, those few loaves and fishes will begin to multiply in their hands, God. That you'll begin to open doors, God, for them at their workplaces, in their finances, in their personal lives, with families and friends, in Jesus' name. That which the enemy has broken down in your past, I'm here to declare to you. you that God is not going to repair it. He's going to replace it with brand new in your life. Those relationships that he has been breaking down. He is the thief. He comes to steal and to destroy. But my God is the healer. My God is the deliverer. My God is the one that restores and repairs. And he is the one that with loving arms welcome you home. That is the God that we serve. And I'm here to declare that for you. No matter how far you feel you're away from God, no matter how sinful you think your past have been, it is not too stained for the blood of Jesus Christ to wash it clean. And I was just pondering this morning when Ken was talking about when they took the Passover meal, they were sitting in a home and they were protected. But I'm telling you now as well, I had a revelation that so many times we sit there and we think God is so far from us. God is so distant from us. Maybe it is time that you sit in your home and you begin to take a Passover meal so that the God that seems so distant will become to pass over you, that you begin to see him pass over you, that you begin to see him pass over your finances, that he passes over your relationships, that he passes over everything that you see and think is broken and disorganized and dysfunctional in your life and in your family and in the physical, and you will begin to see restoration. You will begin to see fruitfulness. You will begin to see the dry valleys become spring, watered with springs of living water. That is what that is who the God we serve is. And I declare that over your weeks this week, that come next Sunday, we are going to hear testimonies of how good God has been for you, and that God will begin to open your eyes for the things that he's doing around you. Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus, where there be any veils or crusts on people's eyes, that it be removed right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the change that is happening. In Jesus' name, I praise you. Amen.
Amen. Bless God. Man, that's powerful. What a challenge, eh? What a challenge. All right, look, time's gone. Bless you. Have an awesome week. Stay for coffee and some fellowship. We love